Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Gemara begins from the second line from the top on the Kuf Yud Gimel. You will notice a geometric form, one of our series markings. We have a little house form, and in the outside margin, we attempt to feature the topic headings and structural notes as each new sugya appears. In this case, we have our nosei, topic, mivneh, structural note combined. You'll notice a little house form in the outside margin, and we've written in etzos she'rav noisein, ideas, good ideas that Rav gives to several different students. We have one, Aleph is l'Rav Asi. Rav gives etzes to Rav Asi, legabi mokom megurim, regarding a place suitable for living. What is a worthwhile place choose to live in? The Rav Kahana binyan parnosa, he gives an etze to Rav Kahana regarding income, parnosa. And gimel, lechio brei, he gives an etze to his son, chio binyan brius, regarding health matters. And 4, Dalid, he gives La'ivo Bray to his son Ivo, Be'inyan Parnosa. And it's pointed out that he gives him these ideas regarding Parnosa, regarding income, Achrei Shlo Itzliach Imoy B'limu Torah, after it seems that Rav did not enjoy much success with regard to Ivo in his Torah learning. Turning to the Gemara on the second line, Omar Le Rav L'Ravasi, Lo Todur, do not dwell b'maso in a city, the lo tsonif bo susiov lo novach bo kalba, in which the whinnying of a horse and the barking of a dog is not heard. In other words, these animals, the horse and the dog, were part of the, we'll call it, the security considerations of a city. That if you had a horse in a city, the horses were part of the, what's what we'll call the patrol that the local authorities would ride on, and dogs would warn of oncoming danger or suspicious characters through their barking. So a city that doesn't have, that you don't hear any horses or dogs in them, it's a sure sign that the city has no security provisions and therefore not worth living in such a place. The al, number two, the al todur beir de reish maso asya. Do not live in a city that the head of the city, the mayor, is a doctor. There are other girsos that, and actually we've also seen a Gemara before, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that mentions that one should not live in a city whose head is a Talmud Chacham. And in both cases, the same consideration applies, and that is that these people's minds are on other things. The doctor is very concerned with his patients. The Talmud Chacham is very concerned with his Torah learning, and therefore they won't be focused on the municipal needs. And you're looking for a place whose municipal needs are cared for, and therefore in such a city where the mayor or the city council are made of Talmidei Chachamim or doctors, not worth living there. Number three, Velo Tinsiv Tarti. Don't marry two women, two wives. E nasvis tarti, if you did marry two wives, we're talking two at the same time, nosiv plas, then marry a third. The Rashbam explains, if a man is married to two women at the same time, they can scheme against him. If he's in such a situation, he ought to take a third woman, because if two are scheming, so the third will certainly want to get on her husband's good side and will inform on any schemes that the other two are having against him. Omar le Rav, the Rav Kahana, Hafoch benevelta velo tepuch bemili. Better to be preoccupied, to have as an income preoccupation with, even if it be nevelis, animal cadavers, or animal bodies. But don't be a person preoccupied with words and gossip. The Marsha points out that with a little play on the words here, the word nevelta or nevela is similar to what happens with a person who's involved with a lot of gab and a lot of talk. He can end up coming to nivel peh. Nivel peh is a foul language, and hence the play on words here is that better to be preoccupied with some gainful income, even if it be through dealing with nevelis, than coming to a situation where one violates nivel peh. Pshot nevelta b'shuka v'shokil agra. Rav continues to tell Rav Kana that when it comes to providing an income for oneself, whatever one does is reasonable, even if it's a matter of skinning animal bodies in the public and selling the skins. Velo tema, and don't stand on principle or stand on ceremony and say, well, how can I do that? Kano ano, v'gavro rabo ano, v'sanyo b'milsa. I am the great kahana, and I'm a great man, and it's beneath my dignity. So the main point here, and it's a very significant point, that when it comes to an income, a person, whatever a person does, it, as long as it's a legal preoccupation, he should do it, earn a day's wage, and not stand on ceremony or principle saying that something is beneath his dignity, and therefore not pursue such an income. Salkis le'igro sherusach bahadoch. When you go on a journey, even if it's a nearby place, you should make sure to have food with you. Me'o kori b'maso bezuzo tusi kanfoch neheve. Even if food is very cheap, one should make sure that he has it with him. Omar lei rav lechio brei. Lo tishti samo. Don't drink drugs. Rashbam points out that a person should not get used to taking drugs, medicines, or possibly drugs as we understand them, sources of comfort and feeling, and the Rav is recommending don't get hooked on it, because they are addictive, as the Rashbam points out, and you'll end up becoming addicted and need money to buy it, and you'll end up spending all your money. And the Rashbam even adds, even for true medicinal purposes, one should attempt to avoid taking medicines if there is some alternative form of refuah. All of this seems to be because of the fear of addiction, and the fear of addiction, if nothing else, can lead to a person's being financially ruined. Number two, velo tashvor nigra. This means not to take large steps. Large steps can ruin a person's eyesight. Velo teaker kocha. And if one can avoid it, one should not go through tooth extractions. The Rashbam says that even if a person's tooth hurts him, eventually it gets better. V'lo tekane bechivya. Don't incite a snake. V'lo tekane barmo. And don't incite a Gentile. Tanu Rabbonon. Shloisha ein miskanin bohen. The Eluhain, there are three that one should avoid at all, enraging them or inciting them, angering them. Nochri Koton, a young Gentile. The Nochosh Koton, a small snake. The Talmud Koton, and a young student. My taimo, why is this so? De malchusayu achore udnayu koi. Their future is ahead of them. That's a paraphrase of the of what the Gemara is trying to say, and that really is the point. They, as the Rashbam says, they eventually will get will grow up, and their strength and authority will grow with them. And if you incite them when they're young, they will eventually bear a grudge or take revenge. Omar le Rav laivo bre. Rav turns to his son Ivo. Tarchi boch b'shmeitzo. I've invested efforts in your Torah learning. Velo mistayo milsa. But I don't feel that we have had success. However, as a result of that, to agmaroch milidamo. I want to teach you ways of the world. And here you will see a number of pieces of counsel that Rav shares with his son Ivo. Adchola akaroch zvinoch zovin. We'll take a look at the Rashbam. In the middle of the wide lines, you can see on the lower part of the page, Be'oid hachoyl al raglecho, while the sand is still on your feet, kishebosim naderech, when you've come in from your trip, from the road, mechor masheveso, if you came from a business excursion and you bought wares, as soon as you come in with the wares that you bought for the commercial purposes, sell them quickly. Mechor masheveso, kidei shetachzur meheru v'tikne v'tovi v'timkerenu, so that you have a constant cash flow, constant turnover with profit and cash flow, and then you go out and buy more and constantly sell and profit and buy again new merchandise. This is what he's suggesting. Number two, ko mili zovin v'ticharet. Almost anything you buy and sell, you may come to regret in the event that the prices go up, and you'll say, "Oh, I could have sold it for more." Bar mechamro, with the exception of wine, dezoven velo techaret, the sale of wine will never incur a sense of regret because there is an overriding fear that it may go sour. Number three, shori kisech psach sakech. First, receive payment for whatever you want to sell, and then after you get payment, then give over the merchandise to the customer. Number four, kavo me'ara velo kuro me'igra. Better small profits from property that's nearby than large profits from property that's far away. Kav, in this phrase, a kav is a much smaller measure than a kur, which is a much larger measure. Number five. Tamro b'chaluzoch leves sudna rohid. As soon as you have dates in this chaluzoch is a vessel that holds dates. As dates were the raw material for the making of beer. So as soon as you get dates, run off to the beer maker. V'ad kama, and the reason for this is, the Rashbam says, is that if you hold on to the dates, there's the concern that you may come to eat the dates and never come to making the beer, which is more profitable. The ad kama, what is the amount that we're talking about over here? Amar rovo, ad tlosa saw. If you have three saw of dates, then this suggestion comes into play. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll just glance at the topic heading that we have on the outside margin, the nose, Shevach shel sudni, praise accorded to the sudni, who is Yotzer shel Shechor. He's the beer manufacturer. We see here a Roman numeral number one, and there's a Roman numeral number two that appears on the next line. That's part of a bracketed section, as it represents an ikar di amri. The bracketed section will be explained momentarily. But before we get to that, we'll also notice some triangles with Rav Papa's name in it. These are Memros of Rav Papa, comments of Rav Papa. Within the bracketed section, there will be two Memros of Rav Chisda, and you'll see why it's presented as an alternative Lashon in a minute. So the Gemara begins, Omar Rav Papa, Ilo de Ramoy Shichro Loi Asri. If I was not a beer maker, I wouldn't have become wealthy. The word Iasri has to do with becoming wealthy. If you skip the brackets for a second, you see right after them, Omar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa goes on with some other observations. But before we get to that now, we'll just say, look at the Iko di Amri in the brackets. Iko di Amri, Omar Rav Chisda. Instead of Rav Papa, this version has Rav Chisda saying, Ilo de Ramoy Shichro, if I was not a beer maker, lo yasri, I would not have become wealthy. My Sudna, the question of the Gemara here is, why is the one who makes beer referred to by the term Sudna? We had this expression a mere two lines up, where you saw it dashed, underlined, where the eitzah that was given, that is, if you have dates, run off to the beer maker. Here, the Gemara is asking, why is the beer maker called by this name? Omar Rav Chisda, Soid Noe Ugmilas Chasodim. Soid Noe literally is a pleasant secret, meaning that the idea of making beer is simply a very good idea. And with the profits that one makes from his beer sales, he can do with it gemilas chasodim. He can do acts of kindness and charity. Omar Rav Papa, we go back to comments of his, kol agav gavya boi. All kinds of deals, especially loans that are written up in a document form, will eventually come to your needing to go and collect it. That the Rashbam points out that even though you have a shtar written, you'll still have to trouble yourself to collect the money owed to you. Kol ashroi. Ashroi is credit. If you sold things sold on credit, sofek osi, sofek lo osi. It's not for sure that you're going to get paid. Sofek that it will come to you, sofek a doubt that it might not come to you. Uda osi, and even if you do get paid after extending credit, mois rois ninhu. The people who will pay you back will end up paying you little by little. It's less desirable to be paid in that form. The better way, of course, is to be paid a lump sum. But that's the nature of man, that when they have a chance to buy something on credit and it comes to payback, they pay mo'os ros, which the Rashbam says, they pay little by little. We continue with the bow tie marking, and we had explained on the side of our Gemara that these are lists that are accompanied by numbers, and this continues till Amud Beis. Shloisha Dvorim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Anshei Yerushalayim. Three comments Rabbi Yochanan said, based on a tradition he had from the people of Yerushalayim. Number one, Kishato Yoitse Lemuchoma, when you go out to battle, Al Teitse Bo Rishona, Elo Teitse Bachrona, Kadesha Tikones Bo Rishona. Don't run to fight on the front lines. Rather, when going into battle, go in the rear. And that being that if it's necessary to withdraw or to run, you will be able to get home first. Number two, Vasei Shabbat Chochol ve'al Titzorech Lebrios. This, of course, is something we've heard in the past in the name of Rabbi Akiva, that if a person has no means, he is advised to celebrate his Shabbos as if it were a weekday, meaning do with little, but and not to become dependent on others. Number three, Vevi Mishtadil Imi Shasho Mesachek Esloi. This too is a Gemara that we saw earlier. We saw this on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, that if a person has an opportunity to partner up with someone that is currently profiting, that he is recommended to do so. The Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis said a little bit more than that. But for the time being, that's the primary idea here. Shloisha Dvorim, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Anshi Yerushalayim. You notice with the markings, we've also dot underlined the expression Mishum Anshi Yerushalayim. This is to draw your attention to the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was also quoting from them just a couple lines up. Number one, Al Tarbe Begagois. One should avoid taking care of his needs in a public fashion. Gag meaning on rooftops, the rooftop being an exposed area. And the reason for this is because once upon a time, there was an incident involving David HaMelech, who became involved with Bathsheba as a result of his being on the roof and noticing her. And the details behind that particular incident are a little bit complicated, we'll say, to put it mildly. And therefore, in order to avoid problematic situations, the eitzah here, the advice here is avoid taking care of your needs in a public exposed area. And that's what he means here when it says, Mishum Maise Shehoya. And the Rashbam explains, very briefly, he says, Mishum Maise Shehoya de David Ubas Sheva, Tichtiv, and he quotes the Pasuk, Vayar Isha Rochetzitz Me'al Hagag. He had noticed while he was on the roof, he noticed a woman, and in that case it was Bathsheba, that was tending to herself. Continuing in the Gemara, Bitcha Bogra, if one's daughter becomes adult, I mean, Bogra in the Gemara, usually she's 12 and a half years old. Shachar avdecha v'tein lo. Free your slave and give the slave to her in marriage. On this particular point, there isn't much elaboration in the Rashbam, nor in the Rashi. So one can assume that, being that this individual had a slave in his house and was working for him, there probably was some kind of, call it closeness or affinity maybe that developed between the Eved and the owner's daughter. So as to avoid any improper or immoral situations down the road, this is the advice. Number three, V'hevi zohir b'ishtecha mechasono harishon. One should keep his eye on his wife when in the context of one's first son-in-law. My time, well, why should one watch his wife with regard to her relations with one's first son-in-law? So we have here two pshatim. Aleph, Rav Chisda Amar Mishum Erva. There's a fear that maybe that one's wife will become a little bit too friendly with her new son-in-law, and it could lead to lead to immorality. And Rav Kahana Omar Mishum Momoin. Rav Kahana says that there's a tendency on the part of one's wife to spend his money on their new son-in-law, and she'll end up wasting your money on this new couple. V'ha isnu, and the Gemara says that both are in fact considerations, even though they were presented one by Rav Chisda and two by Rav Kahana. Keep both in mind. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shloisha minochale ho'ilum haba. There are three that will inherit the world to come. Eluhain, one hador beretz Yisrael, one who lives in the land of Israel. Bear in mind, of course, that this is the Talmud Bavli that was compiled in the diaspora, in the Golus Bavel, and the Talmud Bavli, you'll notice, is full of words of praise for Eretz Yisrael. Number two, V'hamegadel bonov l'talmud Torah, one who raises his children in a Torah way and in the study of Torah. And number three, V'hamavdil al hayayim b'motzoi shabosois, and one who makes havdalah over a cup of wine on Motzoi Shabbos. Now, regarding this, the Gemara says, "Mai hi, what's this? What's so special about this that one is considered worthy of meriting a portion in the world to come because of this practice?" So the Gemara explains, we're talking about a person that has very little wine at home, the Meshayer Mikidusha, he leaves over the wine from Kiddush. In other words, he has enough wine for Kiddush and for, let us say, one more cup. So he leaves over the one extra cup from the Kiddush for the Havdalah and doesn't drink it for his own personal enjoyment during the Shabbos. So as in that merit that he's concerned with observing the Havdalah, he is called a Noichel Olam Haba. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Machriz Alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom. There are three that the Kodesh Baruch Hu announces in praise every day. Number one, Al Ravak Hador B'krach V'enu Chote, on a single man that is able to live in a community, in a city, and doesn't sin. In other words, he maintains a moral lifestyle. V'al Oni HaMachzir Aveda L'Baleha, and a poor man who returns, who restores lost articles to their owner. Number three, V'al Oshir HaMa'asir Peirosov B'tzina, and a wealthy man who tithes his fruits in private. My understanding of this is that the idea of miser, of taking off tithes, is a function of even beyond fruits, it involves one's profits. And a wealthy man who tithes his profits, who gives, we'll say, gives charity private manner, in a non-bombastic fashion, is something that's very praiseworthy. Rav Safra, Ravak Hador B'Krachave. Rav Safra was an unmarried man who lived in a community. And you can rest assured that he practiced a moral lifestyle. Toni Tano Kame Derava V'Rav Safra. Someone had taught over in the presence of Rava and Rav Safra this particular teaching that we just had, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu announces words of praise regarding this kind of situation, the Ravak Hador B'Krach. So upon hearing this, Tzavu Ponov de Rav Safra, Rav Safra lit up. He was overcome with joy upon hearing this particular teaching. Rava, let's say, ruins the party, so to speak. You'll see Rava makes a comment now. Rava's name appears to the right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line in our marking system. This is what we call a length marker, indicating that all of the following lines are Rava's comment. So Rava says, Omar lo Rava, lav kegon mar, the praise of the Ravak Hadar B'Krach, is not referring to someone like you. Elokagon Rav Chanina Rav Oshaya, Davu Ushkefi Ba'arod Yisrael. These two Rabbonon were shoemakers in the land of Israel. Pavu Yasvi Beshuka Dezonos, and their store was in no less than a market that was frequented by harlots. The Avdi Luhu Misani Lezonos, they prepared shoes for these harlots. The Aili Lahu, and the harlots used to enter their shop. Inhi Mistakli Bahu, the women would look at the rabbis, as Rav Chanina and Rav Oshaya. Vinu lo Madlon Inayu Listakuli Bahu, and they did not lift up their eyes to look at them. And furthermore, Umum Sayu, their Shvua, when these women would need to take an oath. They used to swear in whenever a need came to take an oath, they would say the following. They swear by the life of the holy rabbis in the land of Israel. This shows how morally upright these two Rabbonin were, that even though they were, we'll call it in the furnace of desire, yet they did not yield and practiced a totally pure and upright moral existence. Shloisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavon. There are three that the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves. One is mi she'eno koyes, to one who does not get angry. Number two, umi she'eno mishtaker, one who does not become inebriated, drunk. Number three, umi she'eno ma'amid al midoisov, someone who does not, someone who is, we'll say, a compromising individual. The idea of eino ma'amid al midoisov is explained at greater length in other Gemaras, but we'll try to describe this briefly. When a person is wronged, and the wronging party seeks forgiveness, the proper way, and that's what's being addressed over here, is that upon being forgiveness is sought, they immediately offer their forgiveness. That's a person who is eino ma'amid al midosov. There are others that may not be so willing in their forgiveness and dwell on their hurt. That would be a type of person that's ma'amid al midosov. But someone who's quick to forgiveness, this is what the Gemara is referring to when it says the Kodesh Baruch Hu is ohev oson. Shlosha ha-Kodesh Baruch Hu sona, there are three that the Kodesh Baruch Hu hates. One, hamedaber echad bepeh ve'echad belev. We refer to that by the term two-faced. He speaks one thing but feels something else inside. Number two, v'hayodea edus b'chaveru v'eino meid lo. One who knows testimony to benefit his friend and does not testify on his behalf. And number three, v'oroya devar ervo b'chaveru u'meid bo yichidi. Must preface this with a halacha, and that is that in Torah law, witnessing is not accomplished unless there are two. In other words, one in other outside of strictly financial matters, outside of that realm, one witness is of no legal consequence. Therefore, if someone sees, let us say, an act of immorality, and on his own, as a singular individual, he goes and testifies about so-and-so's immoral act, that's someone that the Kodesh Baruch Hu hates. The Gemara will now illustrate this a little bit more elaborately, and this actually forms the topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara on the outside margin, Eid Echod She'yodea B'chavero Shu Avayon. We'll be talking about a singular witness who knows that his fellow man is a sinner, is a Rasha. The Gemara offers a little story, Kiha de Tuvia Chata, an incident involving Tuvia who sinned, apparently was involved with an act of immorality. The Osa Zigud, Zigud is as a name, and Zigud came along, Lechude, by himself, the Asid Bey Kameh to Rav Papa, and testified in front of Rav Papa that Tuvia had sinned. So we have only Zigud on his own, coming and bearing testimony about Tuvia's act of immorality. Nagde l'Zigud. And Rav Papa saw to it that Zigud was lashed. Now, Zigud didn't sin. Zigud simply came to testify about Tuvia. Amale, so Zigud spoke up and he said, Tuvia chota v'Zigud mingid. Tuvia sins and I get lashed. Amale, Rav Papa says, in, that's right. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, lo yokum eid echod be'ish. There's a negative command, and a negative command bears with it, generally speaking, lashes if one is in violation of it. The Pasuk says that one witness shall not arise to testify. Ve'at l'chudach asidis bay. You, as a singular witness, came to testify against him. Shame Rabbi Amo komafkis bay. All you are doing is casting a bad reputation, a bad name on your fellow man. And that is worthy of being lashed. What the Gemara is trying to say here is that all you are accomplishing, since you're not accomplishing anything legally, because the testimony of a singular witness is of no consequence, therefore all you're doing is simply spreading a bad word about somebody. If there were two witnesses, in their testimony have power for enabling the court to act upon their testimony. A singular witness does not have any legal import, and therefore the court can't act, and all that really happens here is just the spreading of a bad name. Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav. You'll see we have now a little house marking, and on the outside margin, under Mivneh heading, a little bit on the outside margin, you notice a little house. Beis Deos, we'll see two opinions, Benosei Hanal, regarding the aforementioned topic concerning a singular witness that knows that someone sinned. So one opinion will be Mutter Lisnoso, that it's allowed for the person who has this knowledge of his friend, it's allowed for him to hate the violator. And the second approach is that it's mitzvah lisano, so that it's actually an obligation to hate him. So we now see, quoting the name of Rav, a first approach, Aleph, Mutter Lisnoso. We'll see a few lines later, a second approach, a Bayes approach, also featured with the house marking. We have little house markings to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, in the little space there that you could see the Aleph, and if you skim further down, you'll see where the Bayes appears. So the first approach is Mutter Lisanoso. It's Mutter for the for one who knows that his friend is in moral violation. It's Mutter for him to hate him. Shenemar, Kisire Chamor Sonacho Rovetz Tachas Masao. This pasuk, if it appears in a totally unrelated context, this has to do with the Torah requirement to assist an animal when it's beleaguered by an overly heavy burden on its back. However, in the pasuk, it makes a specific reference to one who sees the donkey of his enemy. Son acha, it says. My sone. Who is this sone that's referred to in the pasuk? And the Gemara will go through a number of stages in order to figure this out, and we've tried to illustrate the stage phenomenon by underlining and numbering the different stages. So you see here, ilimo, this is one that will be rejected. At the first wide line, you see at the beginning of line a number 2, and the next line 3, and after that a 4. Four stages in analysis to figure out what we're talking about, and this will eventually bring us around to the point of the Gemara. So the Gemara asks, who is this sone referred to in the pasuk regarding the animal that's crouching down under its heavy burden? Ilemo sone nochri, if you're talking about a Gentile that you happen to hate, v'hot tanya, the Brisa teaches sone she'amru, when the Torah uses the word sone, Sone Yisrael, velo sone nochri. We're talking about someone who is Jewish that is hated, not a Gentile. So that the topic of the pasuk cannot be referring to a Gentile. Ela pshita sone Yisrael. So it must be that we're talking about a Jewish person that is hated. Well, that arises another question. Umi sharia lemisne, but is it allowed to hate? There's a specific warning against bearing a feeling of hate toward your friend, even if it's in your heart. Elo, rather, it must be something else. De'iko sahadi de'ovid isura. We're talking about someone who is hated here, someone concerning whom there are witnesses that he has sinned. Well, if that be the case, kulei alma nami misni soni lei mai shno hai. If you have witnesses that someone is a willing sinner, then he is to be hated by all. Why, in this context, do we refer to you see your enemy, in other words, the one you hate, which sounds like something of a personal, on a personal level. And once again, if the person featured here, this sone, is someone who has been known to be a sinner in the presence of witnesses, then it wouldn't be taught on a private level, on a sonacho, sonacho meaning on a personal level, sonacho, you're the one you hate. Elo lav, so what must be? Ki hai gavna, like the case above, dechazio be ihu devar erva, that you saw him violate an act of immorality, and you are alone, therefore others cannot hate him. You alone saw him commit this act of violation, willful act of violation. Therefore, the Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says, it is mutter for you to hate him. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, he goes a little further and he says, Omar mitzvah lisnoso. It's obligatory upon you to hate him. Shenemar yiras Hashem sinas ra. That true fear of God is hate of evil. And so if someone is evil and it's with, and you are aware of that, you are obligated to hate him. It goes without saying that we're talking about people who are willing, knowing, we'll call it malicious violators. And we're not talking about situations where someone commits what's called a sin on the books, but is unaware of what he's doing. Omar Rav Acha Bre Derava L'Ravashi, Mahu L'Meimro Le L'Rabbe L'Misne. Is it allowed for the individual who saw his fellow man sinning to inform the sinner's rabbi in order that the rabbi should hate him as well? Omar Le, so Rav Ashi answers, Iyoda de Mehemon L'Rabbe Kibetre, if you know that the Rav will believe you as if you were to, in other words, that the Rav trusts your word, Lemo Le, then inform him. Ve'ilo, if you're not sure that his rabbi has full confidence in what you will report, then lo lemo le, then don't tell him. Tanu Rabbanan, shloisha chayehen einom chayim. There are three whose life is not living, which means that a person who, one of the three people that we'll see described now, each one of the three individuals or types of individuals go through life with a great deal of strain and frustration. And they are Horachmonen, Varaschonen, Va'anine Hadas. And it's pointed out by the commentaries that we're talking about these attributes in excess. The first one is one who is full of compassion and mercy. No, of course one should be merciful, but one should not be overly merciful. And it's explained elsewhere that there is so much in life, that so much injustice, we'll say, that one can witness or be aware of in life, that if one is overcome by feelings of mercy, we'll call, as we say, too much mercy, he ends up being living a life of great depression, we'll say, great frustration and anguish. Therefore, it's described here as chayehem einol chayim. And number two, varaschonin, people who have a short fuse, they're angry types. Va'anine hadas, people that are overly fastidious, finicky. The Omar of Yosef, Kulhu Isnehubi. I happen to have all of these attributes. Tonu Rabbanon, Shloisha Soinin Ze Eze. There are three that hate one another. Elohein Haklovim, Vatarnegolim, Vachaborim. The Chklovim dogs, Tarnegolim chickens, and Chaborim. Chaborim is the name of a warring type people, a name of a nation. And so the Gemara is telling us that they amongst themselves hate each other. V'yeshomrim af hazoinois. Others say that even harlots are soinin ze'ezeh. V'yeshomrim af talmidi chachomim shebebovel. And an additional opinion adds, even the Torah scholars in Bovel. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin describes the style of Torah learning in Bovel was one of a warring nature, where each one would try to, say, find the shortcomings in his fellow's Torah observations and Torah analysis. And the Gemara there in Sanhedrin contrasts the style of Torah learning in Bavel with that in Eretz Yisrael, which is described as one, as each one tries to complement the other. Complement in the sense of
add to what his friend says, to embellish upon what his friend says, to enhance each other's Torah learning. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that you can see in the source. There are numerous lists, as are indicated by our bow tie marking. Shlosha oyavim ze eze. Three love one another. Eluhain, hagirim, vavodim, v'orvin. The converts, slaves, and orvin, a type of bird. Arbo, ein hadas soivloson. There are four that one cannot even, that one's mind cannot tolerate. Eluhain, dal ge'e, an impoverished man that's haughty. Number two, ve'oshir mikachesh. I've seen an interpretation of this, is that it's a reference here to a wealthy man that practices flattery. And the term mikachesh literally means denies. And one who practices flattery is a person that denies his true feelings. So that's the second type individual in this list. Number three, vizokein minaif, an elderly person who conducts himself immorally. And number four, uparnas. Parnas is a leader, misgoe alhatzibor bechinam, who rules heavy-handed over his community for no reason. The Meforshim point out that a Parnas, a leader, receives his authority by virtue or in the merit of the public. He's what we call in English a public servant, a very appropriate term servant being associated with slavery, that one who is a leader is in effect enslaved to the public. So one who behaves in a haughty or overbearing fashion over the tzibor is something to be categorized as ein hadas of loss, something that's just intolerable. In fact, the Marshal points out that even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a person of maximum qualification, nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him that your leadership is something that you earned only in the merit of the public. V'yesh oimrim av hamegoresh es ishtoi pam rishonu shnio umachzira. This additional opinion adds to the list of something that the mind cannot tolerate, is a person who divorces his wife twice. Namely, he divorces her, remarries her, divorces her again, and takes her back, making his wife into some kind of ping pong. The question that the Gemara will deal with in the bracketed section is, why is it that this is presented as simply a yesh omrim, as an additional opinion, and the Tanakama, the first opinion, lists four and does not include this. The Vitana Kamo, in the brackets, the Gemara addresses this, the first opinion that doesn't list the case of Megarish's Ishto, Parmishona Ushnil Machziro, Zimno de Duxuboso Meruba. There are occasions that a person would have to pay to his divorced wife a very large Ksuba payment. The ksuba payment is possibly translated as alimony, but it's the agreed amount that a person pays his wife upon divorcing her. In the event that she has, that the ksuba, the agreed amount, was a vast amount, and he can't afford it, so he would rather take her back. And therefore, even if you see a situation where he's taking her back again and again, it could very well be because of his inability to pay the ksuba. Inami, yesh lo bonim heimeno velo motzi megarish lo. Or you may have a situation where a man has children from this particular woman, and he lo motzi megarish lo, the commentaries point out, means he can't maintain the situation of of being divorced. In other words, he needs her to raise the children. Chamisha dvorim tzivo Knan es bonov. There are five things that Knan was a son of Ham, who in turn was a son of Noach. This is a grandson of Noach, and Knan was come as a result of the immoral situation that he found himself in with regard to Noach, as the Torah alludes to, as a result of this, of his misbehavior, of Ham's misbehavior, Ham received a curse from his father Noach, that his children, that his offspring would be slaves. So, bearing that in mind, the source tells us there are five things that Canaan instructed his sons: Avu ze eze, love one another; Vehavu es hagezel, love theft; Vehavu es hazima, also love immorality; number four, Vesinu es adonechem, hate your masters; and five, Ve'al tedabru emes, and don't speak the truth. Shisha dvarim nemru besus, six characteristics regarding a horse. Ohev esaznus, the horse enjoys immorality. The ohev esamuchama, he likes warfare. The ruchoi gasa, it has a high spirit. Number four, umoyes esashina, it disdains sleep. The oichel harbe, it eats a lot. Umotzi kimo, and little waste comes from it. The yeshamim af mevakesh laharog balov bimuchama. Another opinion adds that it seeks the death of its, it seeks to kill its owner in the course of war. Shiva menudim l'shamayim, there are seven that are considered outcast from heaven. Elohein Yehudi shein lo isha, a Jew that is not married. Number two, v'sheyesh lo isha v'ein lo ibonim, that he is married and he does not practice procreation. And the Tosfos is quick to point out that we're talking about someone who willingly does not practice procreation. Number three, umi sheyesh lo bonim ve'ein megadlon le Talmud Torah. Another member of this list of menudin l'shamayim is one who has children and does not raise them in Torah study. Number four, umi she'ein lo tefillin b'roshu tefillin b'zro, one who does not wear tefillin on his head nor on his arm. Number five, utzitzis bebigdo, nor puts tzitzis on his garments. Number six, umezuzah b'pischo, nor does he bother putting a mezuzah on his doorpost. And number seven, v'amoneam in olim meraglov, one who withholds his feet from shoes, namely he doesn't acquire shoes. V'yeshomrim af mi she'ein meisiv b'chaburo shel mitzvah. Another one added to this list, according to the Yeshomrim, is someone who does not participate in pseudos mitzvah. Pseudos mitzvah, the Tosfos on the top of Kuf Yud Dalid Omer Aleph says, Hainu sudas mila. And sudas nisuin of a Talmud Chacham, one who does not participate in a the meal surrounding a bris milah, nor in the meal of the marriage of a Torah scholar. Omar Rabo Barbachano, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Marta, Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Yosi Ish Hutzel. Before we go further, there's some new markings that we are encountering now. We want to pay attention to our topic, our structural note on the outside margin, the Mivneh. We'll see a triangle. It features Memros Shenemru Al Yedei Rabbi Yosi Ish Hutzel. So there will be three triangles appearing shortly in the Gemara, three comments that are said in his name. The double underline we see under Rav, and we'll see that that's to draw our attention to comments made by Rav in the next few lines. The dashed underline will also be serve the purpose of connecting the items that are dashed underline. In this case, you'll see Rav Yosi Ish Hutzel's name dashed underline. So, as we continue in the Gemara, the following was said in the name of Rav Yosi Ish Hutzel, Minayin She'ein Shoyelim B'Kaldayim. From where do we know that one should not seek counsel or advice from stargazers? Shenemar, Tomim Tiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. the Rashbam explains Tomim Tia Lios Boteach Bo Bechol Kuros Vinoldos Havaus Loch. To be fully confident and trustworthy in God's conduct of the world and everything that befalls an individual. Uminayin Hayodea Bechavero, the Gemara continues, from where do we know that one who knows about his concerning his friend, Shu Godol Mimeno Afilu Bedover Echod, that your friend has certain attribute or knowledge that's greater than yours, even if it's in one matter, Shechayav Linoig Boi Kovod, that one is obligated to respect him, even for that one area of knowledge that he is greater than you. From where do we know this? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Kol Kival Di Ruach Yisero Be Umalko Osisla Kemose Al Kol Malchusa. We see in this pasuk a reference to Ruach Yisero Be as a result of some extra aspect to someone, one is accorded honor. V'hayosheves al dam tohor osur l'shamesh. The Rashbam explains this a little bit further. Hayosheves al dam tohor isho shekolu yemei tohor shelah. A woman, after bearing a child, let's use in the case of a male offspring, so she is considered as having dina yoledes up till day 40 from childbirth. For the first week, she is forbidden to her husband. She's tamea tumas leda from day 8 till day 40, which is a total of 33 days. That from 7 plus 33 brings you to day 40. From during those 33 days, the halacha says that any dam that she sees, any blood that comes from her, is considered tohor. In other words, even though in general we know that women who experience their female cycles, which involve the appearance of dam, that renders them forbidden to their husbands, in the case of childbirth, the period following the initial week in the case of a male birth, or the initial 2 weeks in the case of a female birth, the period of time that follows that, she is considered muteris. It's called dam tohor, dam tohar. What's being described over here is a situation where on the last day, let's say in the case of a male birth, we're talking about on day 40 since the birth, she experiences a appearance of dam. If that dam continues beyond day 40, she becomes a nidah, she becomes forbidden to her husband. Let's look at the Rashbam now, being that we shared this background. Hayosheves al dam tohor, isha shekolu yemei tohor shelo, v'igia leil arboim ve'echod lezochor, o leil shmoinu ve'echod l'nekeva. She finished her birth period, and she's now completed 40 days, so she's at leil arboim ve'echod, that's the night time that ushers in the 41st day, or the 81st day in the case of a female birth. She imtire achshov te nida. If she sees now, if she were to see dam now, this evening, the evening after day 40 or after day 80 in the case of a female birth, she will become a nida. Asura l'shamesh, v'afalpi shelo ro'asa. So in our Gemara, Rav Yotzi Ish Hussel is saying that on that night, she should not have relations, even if she has not seen any dam. Why? Since for the last several weeks she has been accustomed to conducting intimacy even with the sighting of dam, if that were to happen now at the night after day 40 or the night after day 80, that would be totally forbidden. But since she's accustomed to it, we're afraid that she'll continue having relations even with a dam sighting. Therefore, we tell her that now that day or the night before day 41 is upon us, or the night before day 81, we say not to have relations. Gzeiro shemo tira v'teshamish, out of fear, even though right now she is not seeing dam, but we're afraid that she'll have relations even with the dam. The Gemara now asks, well, ad kama, how long a period of time are we telling her to refrain from relations? Omar Rav. Rav answers, Oina. The period of Ona is subject of debate in the Rashbam. The preferred pshat that he likes is simply one night. In other words, that night, after she finishes her Yemei Tohar, the night following her Yemei Tohar, whether it be the night of day 41 or the night before day 81, that night she should refrain from intimacy. Tana. We have a teaching, a Tanaic source, that its whole purpose is simply to share multiple names of the same individual. We have a diamond marking here, which is featured in the outside margin as Rabbonim im Mispar Shemos. We'll see rabbis that have multiple names. Two examples of that will follow. Hu Yosef Ish Hutzal. He is Yosef Ish Hutzal, who was also Hu Yosef HaBavli, Hu Isi Ben Gur Aryeh, Hu Isi Ben Yehuda, Hu Isi Ben Gamliel, Hu Isi Ben Mahalalel, Umashmo. What's his real name? Isi ben Akavya Shmo. So Isi ben Akavya, you can see, has numerous names by which he is referred to. Another example. Hu Rabbi Yitzchok ben Tavlo, Hu Rabbi Yitzchok ben Haklo, Hu Rabbi Yitzchok ben Il'o. At the top of Kuf Yudalid, since we're dealing with names, there's another issue here, but it's not a function of multiple names for the same person, but rather the presentation of two people with similar names, and we want to distinguish between them. Rabbi Yitzchok ben Acho equals Deshmaitza. If you see the name Rabbi Yitzchok in a Gemara that's part of a legal section of Gemara, then you can rest assured it's Rabbi Yitzchok ben Acha. So that if you have a Stam Rabbi Yitzchok in the context of a legal section of Gemara, it happens to be Rabbi Yitzchok ben Acha. Rabbi Yitzchok ben Pinchas, if you see the Stam Rabbi Yitzchok's name, De Agadito, if you see a Rabbi Yitzchok in the context of an Agadic section, meaning a non-legal section of Gemara, and the name Rabbi Yitzchok appears Stam, that means without a father's name attached to it, that is Rabbi Yitzchok ben Pinchas. So going over this point again, the name Rabbi Yitzchok that appears by itself without a father attached to it, that's what we call a Stam Rabbi Yitzchok. In the case of a legal section of Gemara, it happens to be then Rabbi Yitzchok ben Acha. In the case of an Agadic section of Gemara, that happens to be Rabbi Yitzchok ben Pinchas. The Simonech, in order to remember this, just remember the following, Shimuni Achayim V'Re'ai. If you remember that saying, notice the word Shimuni is like the word Shmaitza, Shmaitza being a legal section, and together with that word you see Achai, Shimuni Achai. That will recount for you that Reb Yitzchok ben Acha is the Reb Yitzchok of a legal section of Gemara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.